Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Are you trying to find somewhere to rent? Well, if you're struggling, you probably won't be surprised to hear that there's four times more short-term lets than private rentals available. These are figures from the housing charity Threshold, and they tell us this Friday that more than 8,600 homes were advertised as short-term lets across the country in March, compared to just 2,100 listed for private rent on the property website daft.ie. And Aoife McGrath is with me here on Lunchtime Live today, because Aoife, you shared your own rental experience with us here on the programme previously. What's your reaction to these figures today?
I'm not surprised. As hard as it is to admit, I'm not surprised. I feel like the government are making it a lot more difficult for landlords to offer out their houses, making it more high risk for them to offer their houses out for long-term rent, which I understand, like, it is taking a big gamble, like renting out your house to a stranger for 6 years now and being tied into that lease with very little movement to move out of it. I do get that, and I'm not blaming landlords in this situation. However, they're saying that they're doing this to protect renters. It doesn't feel like we have any protection in this, because I am amongst a huge cohort of people that have received eviction notices in the last couple of months due to this change in legislation. The landlord's trying to exit the market for fear. But, like, it's like, where are we supposed to go? Like, they're wondering why the homeless rates are increasing so rapidly and why we have 5,000 children in homeless accommodation with nowhere for them to go, but they're not making it accessible for tenants or for landlords to enter the market. There's like very little incentive for a landlord to stay in the long-term rental market. Like, something needs to change, and it's just getting worse. Like even on Daft, the available properties that are to rent that are even in a somewhat affordable range have just diminished. Like, absolutely diminished. Like, you'd be lucky to get a new notification, like, every couple of days.
Yeah, now. Well, I mean, the fact that there's only 2,100 places to rent, private places to rent on daft.ie, which is kind of the main website people use right across the entire country. I mean, it does seem extraordinarily low, but it's interesting that you actually acknowledge some of the efforts that government's making in all of this. When you look, though, at the number of short-term lets, Aoife, you know, the number of Airbnb properties across the country, the fact that there's four times more of those than there is long-term rental places to rent available. Like, do we need more rules and regulations around people operating Airbnbs here?
So there's two ways that we can look at this. We can look at it from my point of view as somebody that's trying to find a stable home, like one of my basic human needs, a stable home to live in. Obviously, I would like more legislation in place. Absolutely. But we also need more incentives for people to actually rent out these properties at the same time as well, in a long-term situation, in a long-term rent. Like, there's less and less availability in hotels, which creates more and more demand for short-term rental. And it's less risk now because of the new legislation that the government have put in to, inverted commas, protect renters. So we need to look at the incentives for the people that own these properties, as well as, obviously, looking at the legislation around short-term lets. Like, obviously, it's heartbreaking for me to see something online, that a place that I would love to be a home, but short-term rental. Or even on Daft. You go on Daft and it's, oh, Monday to Friday, availability only. Like, I'm sorry, but where am I supposed to stay at the weekends? Like, I'm someone that would really like to find a home, not just...
It's very disheartening. And, you know, and the thing is, like, I know from talking to Airbnb hosts over the last couple of months here in the programme that a lot of them, you know, will tell us that their properties that are maybe in the back of their garden or a part of their house were never in the long-term rental sector, and they never planned to be. But that seems to be the incentive that the government's hoping, that a lot of these places will come back into long-term use. Lorna Cahill is with us, Aoife. Stay with us for a moment. Lorna is the owner of an Airbnb in West Clare. We've had some new rules. We've more regulations coming in around the 20th of May, this new system for short-term rental properties, Lorna. Will that, do you think that will cut down the number of Airbnb hosts operating?
It already has, Andrea. So many hosts have already dropped out of the market, but unfortunately their properties are not entering the long-term market.
So what are they doing with them?
They're leaving them empty because most of them are not suitable. They're in their gardens, they're in the within the curtilage of their primary principal home, or they do not want to be long-term landlords. No, I have no desire personally to be a landlord. So I know through our host clubs throughout the country, we have thousands of members. We have social media pages, and so many have said that they've dropped out. They've closed their calendars for this year, but they will not convert to long-term lets. A lot would also be holiday homes, which people use themselves throughout the year. Mm. So they're not available for long-term letting. In terms of myself, mine is in my garden. It's a granny flat attached to my home. The new legislation that's coming in, it's actually a bit ridiculous. If a guest was to enter through my front door and stay in a room within my house, where, sleeping in a room next to me, I would not require any planning permission.
Like a B&B, basically, if you were to operate as a B&B.
Yes, if I was doing the shared rooms within my home, my own primary principal home, you do not require planning permission, which is great. But because they're coming in the side door to a unit, which is part of my house, I now require planning permission. And this is why so many are dropping out.
But I don't understand why the planning permission is a deterrent. Like, if people are tax compliant and paying their tax on the money that they're getting for their Airbnb property, there shouldn't be a big issue with having the planning permission from the county council.
No, there shouldn't. And I would love to be able to say that I'm going to rock up to Clare County Council and I'm going to apply and it will be a straightforward, easy procedure and it will be manageable for me financially. But we are hearing reports from around the country of people being charged, hosts being charged development fees of anything from 14,000 to 16,000 euro. For most hosts, that is more than a year's annual
income.
They'll
have to pay for the planning permission?
No, this is what we have been told, that some have been charged, but we know that Donegal County Council, they actually had a meeting the other night and they have agreed to a 500 euro flat fee because hosts have been up in arms, but we're not sure of what the ins and outs are.
Okay, we'll have to look into that, and we'll have to make contact with Donegal County Council and some of the local other authorities to see what the lay of the land is there. But you definitely, Lorna, by the sounds of it, despite these regulations coming into force on the 20th of May, you won't be bringing your short-term let back into long-term use, I take it.
Under no circumstances. And to be honest, when I saw this report this morning, it actually makes my blood boil because there's real deflection going on here and a whole sector is being scapegoated. You know, the systemic failings within the whole system, there are over 20,000 derelict buildings in Ireland at the moment. The OPW has 776 empty buildings. The HSE has 230. And there's 4,000 void social housing properties and 58 unfinished housing estates throughout the country. But the whole focus is on the short-term letting sector. And I do know that there probably are hosts out there who have a number of properties, and I'm not talking on behalf of them. I'm talking on behalf of myself and hosts like me.
Yeah, well, there's a few more getting in touch.
One or two. Yes.
As well. Okay. Well, let's hear from some of those. And Lorna, stay with me if you can for a moment. 1800 453 106, that's the number. I think we've got Rory is with us on the line. So, Rory, you're a psychotherapist and a renter. What's your reaction to these figures today from Threshold? Four times more short-term lets than long-term.
Yeah. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
Do you know what it is? Just another day and another housing outrage. That's all it is. I mean, people have become kind of inured to it now. How little do the so-called government, and I'd like to call them something a little bit harder, understand about the human catastrophe that has unfolded under their watch? I mean, come on, lads, wake up for God's sake. You are in charge of this. This is not a housing crisis anymore. This is a home crisis. Short-term letting is not a home. It used to be, certainly when I was growing up, that your home was a place you could anchor yourself, you could ground yourself in. It was always there for you. It was something you could depend on. But what is this new measure? And I use the term in its loosest possible form. What is this measure designed to do?
To try and bring these long-term rentals back the short-term lets into long-term rentals.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I'm filled with dread every time they come up with a so-called plan or a direction, because none of it has worked. I mean, this is a day where we hear that, what, nearly 5,500 children are sleeping in some sort of
emergency accommodation.
5,500 children, and we hear stories every day of people being in hotel rooms with kids who are forced to leave early in the morning and then come back later. How is that a home?
So. The likes though of Lorna, and there's other Airbnb hosts as well, Rory, with us on the line. I'll get to them in a quick minute. But like the fact that we have more rules coming in, if there was a government rep here today, they'd say, well, sure, we're bringing in more regulations here now on the 20th of March around governing Airbnb uses in the country. But you heard from Lorna, doesn't want to put her property back into long-term use.
Absolutely. More government regulations. Stay with that term just for a second. More government. When have they ever worked? This is not about people. This is about money. This is not about people having a home over their head. This is about control, which brings us back to money. There is no there is no empathy in government that I can see in relation to the housing crisis. And I'll say something else as well, Andrea, on this. I bet that the people who are in charge of fixing the housing problem, all live in their own house. Now, I've no proof of that, but I'm betting big money on it that they all have their own place and don't understand what it is to have to rent.
And the search, and I think yourself and Aoife previously as well have well documented how difficult that is to actually find a rental accommodation. Let me bring in, is it Lynn's with us? Lynn's with us on the line today. You're an Airbnb host in the southeast of the country, is that right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, but you can hear Rory's frustration, Lily, can't you? You know, it's...
Yeah, now, if you want... Yeah, the government is kind of saying somebody needs to do something. Well, they're the ones who... Actually, Margaret Thatcher started it. She came up with the idea to sell housing stock off cheaply without building more, and the Irish government thought it was a great idea. So in the late 80s, they sold nearly 40,000 council homes, and they reduced their social housing stock by two-thirds. And didn't replace them and relied more and more on the private sector. And Aoife's absolutely correct, but they haven't made it desirable for the landlords to stay in the business. But Airbnb is a convenient scapegoat, but the Airbnb properties were not in there in the first place. So it's wrong to say bring them back. Now, somewhere, maybe 1,000 from our surveys, 1,000 maybe.
Did you ever rent your property? I don't know how many properties you have, but did you ever rent them for long-term use, Linny?
No, my husband has some campsites.
Okay.
Some tents.
Yeah, right.
In the woods. And the other place is not really, it wouldn't pass RTB rules at all. It wouldn't be suitable for long-term.
So your place will never be available to Aoife or Rory or anybody listening today that's looking for rental.
I have had families who come to Ireland or come back to Ireland looking for a house, and they stay for a month while they're looking for a house. One family, recently found a house on Facebook because Daft.
So you're always kind of short-term left, really, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, an auctioneer and letting agent in Cork told me that. A few years ago, that daft.ie is no longer the go-to site that it was. It's a lot of word of mouth now. So even that isn't telling the whole story.
Yeah, well, that is true as well. I mean, I read that a little earlier this morning. Those 8,600 homes we're talking about, there's likely even much more than that. Texter makes the point that the short-term lets are crucial to rural tourism and livelihoods where there's little or no hotel accommodation. And that point is true as well. Lucy's with me on the line. Lucy is part of the, she's CEO of HomeShare. Do you think we should reduce the number of short-term rentals, Lucy?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yes, I do. And I was really glad to hear one of the other speakers, Rory, mention community. basically, that is one thing that Ireland is, we are losing community every single day. When there are too many properties that are used for short-term tourist rentals, those homes are no longer available to the people that we actually have to think about more. I'm sorry, people may not agree with me, but I really think we need to think more about the people who actually live and work in Ireland and not so much the tourists. You know, we have to look after our own first, you know, with home sharing. That there are...
How does home share work? Just explain that, maybe.
Yeah, so we match different generations to live together for mutual benefit. So, you know, the majority are... There are 1.2 million empty bedrooms in Ireland today and 250,000 empty rooms just in Dublin. So we match generally older people who are maybe feeling a bit lonely, a bit nervous living on their own. So they would actually offer free accommodation to people who are seriously struggling to find accommodation. So instead of the younger generation paying rent, they would actually offer their time instead of money. So it's mutually beneficial for both people.
Won't work for everybody, but works for might work for some, all right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, although the average age of our sharers, believe it or not, is 40 because they've been renting, you know, for so long. And suddenly they're like, OK, we've got 25 years left to save for a deposit and pay off a mortgage before we actually retire.
Might be might be a solution for perhaps, I don't know, some maybe of our listeners. Look, emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. I just want to, this texter says, I'm a 47-year-old man in County Kilkenny, currently going through a marriage separation, trying to find even a room in a house share. There's 33 available in the whole county. I don't drive. Nearly half of the rooms available are requesting female-only applicants. Of the remaining rooms in the city, some are out of my price range. I've applied to a dozen rooms and haven't got a reply from over any in the last 6 weeks of searching. Totally crazy, says this listener. Another texter, I'm renting 17 years. The landlord owns a couple of properties and I'm now being evicted. He set up a company with property management as its purpose. I believe he's going to sell the properties to the company that he set up, where he will remain the beneficial owner. Therefore, he is complying with the law by selling, but defeating it by remaining the beneficial owner. He can re-rent at double the price it has been once I move out, says this listener. Drop us an email, lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. For the moment, we leave it there. Lucy from Homeshare, Rory, Linny and Lorna as well, and Aoife McGrath, thank you so much for getting in touch.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.